You are now listening to Conversations with Congressman King. Discussion on issues that impact your life with your representative from Iowa's 5th District.
Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King. This is Steve King, and today we do have a very, very interesting guest. One of the individuals that's come out of Northwest Iowa and made a name for himself across the entire state here over the last year. And we have with us today from Spirit Lake, Iowa, Mr. Bill Northey, who is now, I get to call him for sure and for real, Mr. Secretary. Welcome to Conversations with Congressman King, Bill Northey.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Congressman.
Really glad to have you on today, Bill. We could just, a little anecdote to for the listeners here is that we tried mightily several times to get together in Washington, and we had our little pieces of conversation, but due to the schedule and the way it was, we got broken up, and so now we're doing this program by telephone with actually you in Washington and me in Iowa, which seems to be ironic.
It sure is. I'm in for a National Association of State Directors of Ag meeting, and you had some stacked votes yesterday and head home to the district, so we're in reverse roles here.
But at least one of us has Iowa covered at, almost at all times, and
that's
generally
right.
It's you. So.
That's right.
And, you know, I'm one of those that's just thrilled to have you as our Secretary of Agriculture. And it's, you know, the roots that you have, a real working farmer with a good background in education as well as experience on the land. And I didn't ask you how many generations of Northeys have been farming that land up there, and that'd be the first question.
Well, I think we're going back about four generations up there. I live in the house my grandfather built. He bought the farm that I'm on back in the 1930s, but his father farmed as well, and we're pretty sure it goes back farther than that, but we can document back four.
And buying a farm in the 30s must have been quite a difficult procedure. Is there some family anecdote there that tells how that happened?
Yeah, in fact, it was his second farm that he bought. He got started working as a hired man. He's one of those that quit school when he was finished sixth grade and went off to work with family and others, earned some money for a down payment on a farm, tried to start a farm up in Wisconsin, even though that was a farm that he could homestead, not cost him any money. He still couldn't. It was tough enough in the 20s there to be able to make that go that he had to actually walk away from that, start back over again, earn a down payment, and buy this farm and really pay for it by farming, but also by picking corn by hand for all the neighbors all fall along.
And that's the good old American way. Start out the hard way and save carefully to get the down payment up and then build on top of that. And what would he have to say if he were around today to see his progeny and the descendants of his progeny as Secretary of Agriculture?
Well, he'd probably be even more proud of me farming than as a Secretary of Ag. But
boy, talk about the right answer, Bill. Oh, that is something. And so those are the roots, and that's the background. And now you've got your feet on the ground, and I had the privilege to go down and be there to witness you swearing in as our Secretary of Agriculture. And you've had a chance now to put together a little bit of staff and kick off the new legislative session is going across the street from you. And a lot of things are moving and changing in the most dynamic and optimistic time, I believe, in the history of agriculture. And you're right in the epicenter of it all. How does it feel today, and what are the things that are moving right now that the public needs to be aware of?
Well, it really is an amazing time in agriculture. I spent some time this week with some young farmers and with some FFA kids last week, and to try to explain how different this is than what agriculture has been over even the last 20 or 30 years is hard to do. This is all they know, which is just an amazing time. Certainly we see ethanol production growing, biodiesel production, great demand for our crops, new technologies around energy production, other ways of producing energy, energy production impacts on livestock too, where we can look at manure digesters and producing electricity from animal waste or other kinds of products. We're seeing wind energy going up, certainly across Iowa, very strongly in northern Iowa. So it really is an amazing time. At the legislature, there's a lot of discussion around agriculture and the opportunities there, and the investments that we need to make in research, how to encourage folks. You know, in some ways, this isn't something that we can we can sit back and three people can get in a room and say we're going to manage this whole thing and that this is the way it's all going to evolve. There are people out there making decisions, making investments, and that are finding new technologies, and they're creating this industry. None of us know exactly where it is. There's lots of people that will be a part of this. And some of these folks that are young folks and others that maybe at one time would have left the state now have a chance to be able to stay in the state and absolutely decide in some part what the future of agriculture looks in Iowa and the jobs that are in our small town. So it's an amazing time in agriculture.
You're listening to Conversations with Congressman King, and this is Steve King. We're here with Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey. And, you know, the comments that you've made, Bill, about how we can't manage this whole thing. It can't be three people in a room making a decision. It can't be top-down. That the people that are the participants are the ones who are determining by their very investments, their work, and the things that they decide not to do as well, determining the build-out of this renewable fuels that's going to be, of course, a great big footprint now all over all of agriculture. And you know, it causes me to reflect back on those days when your grandfather was in a position to homestead, and those decisions then also were individual decisions. The government did some things to get out of the way. They allowed for the homesteading and the tax structure, the regulatory structure, those kind of things government does, and that sets the guardrails, so to speak. But it's the entrepreneurs that really do the building. And, you know, we had this nation had a vision of manifest destiny, and when they laid the Transcontinental Railroad, and then as the pioneers went out across the prairie, those individual decisions, one after another, determined what America looked like. And the people that are involved in the future of agriculture, as they make their decisions, will determine what agriculture evolves into over the next 25 to 50 years.
I think that's a great parallel. You know, the government didn't say you have to grow this crop because we need wheat in our cities or we want corn to be able to feed cattle. They said we're going to provide you some land, we're going to provide some transportation, and then some folks are going to succeed and some folks are going to fail, and you're going to find your way, and technology is going to drive part of what's produced, and that really is, I think all of us think, the best role for government. We like to manage pieces of it, but at the same token, government can screw some of these things up too if we're not careful. So we need to be able to allow the entrepreneurs, the folks that are taking risks, to be able to go out there and help create this industry.
Well, and our tradition in this country and one of the keys to our success has been our free market economy. And I look back to Wealth of Nations, the real treatise on free enterprise economy written by Adam Smith and published in 1776. I happen to know that's about 1,073 pages, and you do have to ever occasionally throw a glass of water in your face to stay awake, but there's so many interesting things in there. And Adam Smith is the one that articulated the idea of the invisible hand, which he actually never said in his book, but he laid out the case on how every little decision added on top of each other decision creates this amorphous organism of free market economy that determines how to supply the demand. The demand actually calls out for the supply, and the entrepreneurs then are the ones that drive it all. And I look at the difference between that kind of economy, a free market economy, and say a central command economy like the Soviet Union had. And the best way I can describe what they had is they actually had all telephone lines ran to Moscow and back again. So you could call from Siberia across the street, well, across to the next town in Siberia, but the line would go through Moscow so they could monitor every conversation that went on in the country and control what was happening. And that's one of the reasons the Soviet Union collapsed, and it's, of course, our free markets is the biggest reason that we're the strongest economy in the history of the world.
Yeah, these are old lessons that you would swear that we would have figured out, and yet somehow we get involved in things, and governments can think they're smarter than the people on the ground. I don't know the technologies that's being developed right now in these ethanol plants, either the corn ethanol plants or the plants that are going to be cellulose ethanol. How in the world can policymakers determine what that technology is going to be better than the folks that are in those plants that are figuring that out and determining this next generation of renewable energy? And the real opportunities for energy independence, probably for the first time since we really started to use large amounts of energy.
You're listening to Conversations with Congressman King. We're here with Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey. And, Bill, I want to thank you also for the conversations that we've had and the ones that we will have. But I'd convey across to the listeners that our communication will continue. I sit on the Agriculture Committee. We're writing a new farm bill this year, so the policy for the next 5 years will be laid out in this 2007 year of Congress. And I'm really fortunate to have at the national level Secretary Johanns, who is an Iowan by birth and a Nebraskan, some would say by choice, and some would say that's not the best choice. He could have stayed in Iowa. And to be able to have that working relationship with him and the working relationship with you, we want to have a good, strong voice in how this new farm bill is drafted and put together. And I'm very much looking to you for the input on how best to protect and represent Iowa's interests as we put the pieces of the bill together.
Yeah, I look forward to working together, too. You know, you've talked before about the 5th District being number one in ethanol production and biodiesel production. Certainly Iowa as a leader and number one as far as states in that. We have a lot at stake, a lot of opportunities. We have great livestock farmers in Iowa, too, and those industries have opportunities to grow as well. We have a lot at stake, and even the non-farmers in Iowa have a lot at stake in regards to agriculture, because agriculture is a very, very important engine in the Iowa economy. And so there really are great opportunities, and that farm bill does matter, and your role in that will be important.
Well, and I'm looking forward to that, putting those pieces together, Bill. I reflected upon yesterday on the floor, we had a fairly intense debate, but one of the subjects came up, a freshman member of Congress made the statement that he's from Illinois and he thinks that they're pretty competitive and they're probably number two in corn production and that we need to continue to develop our ethanol production from that corn. And it was just nice to be standing there waiting to speak, to be able to make those statements that you've just made about Iowa being number one in ethanol and number one in biodiesel. And, we are way up there in wind production as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite a difference. And I reflect back and did so on the floor yesterday about every once in a while I just go find State Senator Thurman Gaskell from Corwith and shake his hand, because that's the hand that pumped the first gallon of ethanol in the United States of America back in about 1978.
And how far we've come. You know, now we're talking billions of gallons of ethanol. One of the neat things about ethanol is we have so many champions like Thurman and many, many other Iowans, but it took many, many people to be able to make it happen. And that's exactly the model that will continue to serve Iowa well in being a leader many decades from now in energy independence and renewable energy production.
And we're at a stage here, and you referenced it a little bit earlier, Bill, about the livestock industry, and we want to grow this livestock industry parallel with the development of our renewable fuels. The pressure on those markets today is a bit of a dynamic change. Do you have some ideas, or could you just maybe illustrate what we're up against if we're trying to grow the livestock industry at the same time we're seeing the demand for corn and beans increase?
Well, certainly some of those livestock folks right now are feeling some real pressure from the corn prices that have changed a lot in the last 6 months. We had weather problems with wheat around the world, especially in Australia. That kind of started this, and then the additional corn demand from ethanol have jumped prices, and they're feeling some angst there depending on whether they bought corn early or not. So there is that challenge that they have. But looking longer term, that the opportunity to be able to use the distillers and to be able to use these products to be able to grow that industry is a great opportunity. We need both renewable energy and livestock production in this.
And both of us will continue to work on that. Really appreciated you having on board today. You've been listening to Conversations with Congressman Steve King and also with Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey, who is really a strong advocate for renewable fuels, livestock, and the growth of agriculture in the state of Iowa. Thanks very much, Bill Northey.
Thank you, Congressman.
Please join us next time on Conversations with Congressman King. For more information on any of the topics mentioned today, visit the website at house.gov/Steve King.